Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
So, this weather needs to be consistent, I think.
I like it. It's nice. Yeah. Nice and cool in the morning, the evening. Gets a little warmer during the day, but not blazing hot or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I just wish it was a little cooler at night.
Just a bit.
Just crack open the window, go
to
sleep.
Get all the cold we can handle next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that. It was like 28 one night.
Something like that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oof. Break out the long johns.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be fun. Yeah. As long as the power doesn't go out or something.
Yeah, and it doesn't last for a freaking week.
Yeah. And we're back in the groove of work now.
Mm-hmm. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
It gives us something to look forward to. Spring break.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh.
Well, playoff football, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yes. Michigan, the national champs.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Saban has retired.
Yeah.
The Emperor is dead.
The Emperor is dead.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it'll make next year's season even more intriguing.
Oh, boy. Well, okay. So before we make this a football podcast,
because yes,
we could go on.
One more thing. Can't wait for the Horns to beat the Aggs.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
All right. Yes. That's enough. We are here to talk about The Simpsons. We're in season 8 on episode 18. And the title. And I guess this is one of El Rey's favorites.
Yes.
Because it's a historical topic.
Yes.
Homer versus the 18th Amendment. Mm-hmm. And it originally aired March 16th of 1997. And so we're going to start off with the chalkboard and couch gags.
The sans chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the couch gag, we have seen this one before. It's the landscape is a desert, pretty much at sunset. And everybody's in cowboy gear. They look cool, by the way.
Yeah. They do.
They sit on the couch. It's there in the middle of the desert. But then the couch starts acting like a horse or like a bull and starts bucking. And
up and down.
Yeah, up and down. And throws the family off. Right?
Yeah. Well, it could be either or.
Yeah.
If it's an unbroken horse, it's going to buck.
There you go.
And of course, the bull doesn't want you sitting on its back anyway.
They want you there anyway.
Uh-huh. All right. So this particular episode, we start off with the kids walking into Springfield Elementary. But they don't look like their usual self. Well, Lisa doesn't look like her usual self.
Yes, Lisa's wearing her exact same style of dress, but it's green.
Uh-huh. She's even got a green headband?
Yes, little bow.
Yeah, something like that. Green socks, red shoes, kind of Christmassy.
Yeah.
And Bart is wearing his usual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bart looks over at Lisa and he says that she looks stupid.
Yeah. And so Lisa very calmly tells, well, that's funny. I don't feel stupid. And at that moment, she opens the door to the school. And they walk in and Bart stops because he looks around and he notices that everyone is wearing green.
You see Nelson's outfit? He's got that bowler hat.
Yeah, the bowler hat with the...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the suspenders.
Yep. And all the kids see Bart and start chanting, pinch, pinch, pinch.
Yep.
And Lisa sees this and says, hey, no one's pinching his legs.
And so more people go at him.
Uh-huh. By the way, is it just elementary kids that take this holiday way too far? Because I don't remember junior high or high school being that bad.
No, but then grown adults take it way too far in a different way.
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true.
So, but yes, as far as school, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I ever remember having to wear green was elementary.
Mm. I mean, I did it anyway, but it calmed down a lot.
Yeah.
And so, right, we cut to Moe's.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we see Homer and a few of the barflies all wearing green, of course, right?
Yep.
And I love what Homer's saying. He's looking at his watch, right? He's like, come on, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's been St. Patrick's Day for hours and I'm not drunk.
Yep. So Mo finally gets there. He's got that bottle of green dye for the beer, right?
Yeah.
And
this one's not safe, though.
Yeah.
Right?
No. And all the guys want to get in, right? It's 9 o'clock and they haven't started drinking yet.
Yep.
Right? And Mo says, listen up. This is the busiest drinking day of the year. Where are the designated drivers?
I think it's like two or three guys where raise their hand, right?
Uh-huh. And then Mo's like, beat it. I got no room for cheapskates. So they walk away. And then the scene turns over to the parade. And we are with the Channel 6 crew, right?
Yeah. And we hear the top of the morning to you on this gray, grizzly afternoon. And it's our friend Kent Brockman, right? He's live on Main Street, where today everyone is a little bit Irish, except, of course, for the gays and the Italians.
Yeah. By the way, isn't St. Patrick's Day supposed to be, like, famous for, like, the gay parade, too?
I don't know.
That's what I keep hearing.
I'm not sure about that. I'm really not.
Uh-huh. And by the way, you missed something. Okay. It wasn't Kent Brockman. It was Kent O. Brockman.
Kent O. Brockman. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did omit that.
Yes.
This should be
an Irish thing.
Yeah, but could you make that joke now? Or would that be like appropriation?
I think I would have gone with the Mick Brockman.
Mick Brockman. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're still at the St. Patrick's Day parade, and then it's they start to celebrate 2,000 years of Irish cops as the float goes by, right? And then we see a bunch of the Irish cops walking, twirling their batons as they're marching in the parade, and they're saying, with their Irish accents, can you do that?
Like,
I can't
move along now. Nothing to see here. Show's over, folks.
Yeah, and while they're and while they're swinging their billy clubs, they're smacking people in the face.
Yes, they are, right.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut to Marge.
Yes, and Marge has her hair dyed green.
Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty cool.
Yes,
and she says that the parades just bring out so many emotions in me: joy, excitement, looking, which is not an emotion.
Marge, no, it's just a verb.
Yeah,
it's not an emotion. So Bart then asks his mom if he can go buy one of those novelty horns, you know, the really long ones.
The vuvuzelas.
Uh-huh.
By the way,
huh?
Doesn't that World Cup just stick in your mind because of that?
God, yes.
Do you remember those games?
I can still hear them in my dreams.
Oh my goodness, man. There were some great games in that World Cup.
And it was marred by the, my God.
Must have been hell to be there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope they never go back to South Africa.
Or they just don't have the
vuvuzelas. Yeah. Well, yeah, if they can ban the vuvuzelas, I guess they will be fine, right? We'll be fine. Anyway.
Marge gets upset.
Yeah. She says, they got one last year and he just threw it out, right? On the way home, but Bart promises it's not going to happen again this time, and he runs off to go buy one.
Mm-hmm. And so he gets it, and then we see more Irish floats moving by.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a lot of fighting going on.
Yes.
In this parade. And Bart's going through the crowd, and you can see where he is because of the top of the horn, right?
Yeah.
The opening. He's like, hurry up, get out of the way.
And then there's a big dude in front of him. He's like, hey, wide load, move it.
Yeah.
Aruga, aruga.
Right? Just being mean.
Uh-huh. And by the way, the fights are breaking out, right? There's the float of drunk Irish poets.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
goes by. Uh-huh. And then
we cut to Ken Brockman.
We cut to Ken Brockman, right? And people start to climb all over the set, right?
And these guys are wasted.
They're drunk. And they start getting into fights on TV as well, right?
Yeah.
And Ken Brockman's like, ladies and gentlemen, what you are seeing is a total disregard for the thing St. Patrick's Day stands for. All this drinking, violence, destruction of property. Are these the kinds of things we think of when we think of the Irish? and then,
yes,
this will explain some of that commentary, won't
yes,
it?
Yes, right, because then the float, the huge book, the drunken Irish novelist Springfield goes by,
mm-hmm.
right? And the marshals of the float hop off the float and they start fighting with the drunks in the crowd, right?
Uh-huh. And then there's this one.
Yeah.
This one is so dark.
This one is like, whoa.
Right, there is a English eatery right there, John Bull's Fish and Chips.
Because
you know the English, they're famous for their fish and chips, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got the Union Jack all over the sign, and it blows up. Like, it was the IRA attacking the English.
That was... Man,
mm-hmm.
especially then in 97 when
it was still
fresh. Uh-huh. Like, whoa. I had to, when I watched the episode again, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, of course I didn't catch that when I was a kid or anything like that, but I was like, did they just make like an IRA joke? Wow, they did.
That part of the episode was deleted for the Irish and the English crowds.
Wow.
They put it back in now. But at the time, they
fresh,
took it
right?
out. Yeah, they took it out. Wow. They didn't want any problems there.
Man, that's a dark joke, everybody. That's a really dark joke. And so the whole crowd is just fighting, right? Everybody's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart's trying to, move through the crowd, right? And we see the horn moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And just then, a big duff. Float is going by. And there's an Irish woman spraying fountains like a just with a hose, mm-hmm. right? Of beer all over the crowd. And I think Lenny's like, hey, free beer.
And so everybody open your yaps, right? So everybody opens their mouth so they can get that beer. But they don't get any. The only person that gets any beer is Bart.
Right into the vuvuzela.
Uh-huh. And then he gulps it all down. And he lets out a burp.
Yep.
Right. Just as this is happening.
This is one of the greatest scenes ever.
Apu shows up.
Wasted.
Mm-hmm. He's like, everybody get naked. Come on. Don't be shy.
And then to lame up the party... Kirk Van Houten's there, right?
Mm.
He said, why not? This party's just getting started, right? He tears open his shirt.
And he's got that big gold medallion.
Yeah, it's so lame. I guess he's single man now, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. So then an old woman tells everybody to be quiet and to see what's happening. And she points at Bart. And Bart is drunk as a skunk.
Yeah, and he is just staggering all over the street. No one's in the street at this point. He's in the middle of the road by himself.
Uh-huh. Like, even Apu, Kirk, they're all there shocked.
Yep, with all the things going on, this is what shocks everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the adults are all freaking out. But it's funny because all the kids are just like,
yeah, Bart!
Milhouse and all his friends.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
so then we cut to Moe's. And people are drinking, right? Homer has a beer barrel over his head. He's like, look at me. I'm the Prime Minister of Ireland. Yeah. And everybody's laughing at them. And then the TV comes on. Mm-hmm. And we see Bart wobbling back and forth on TV. Of course, Homer notices this, right?
Well, yeah, Bo tells him, like, hey, isn't that your kid?
Right? And he kind of like turns the barrel so he can... So his eye can see through the little hole, right? And then the TV reads, Drunken Boy, live. right across the TV screen. And as Bart looks at the camera and says, "What are you looking at?"
Right, all pissed off. And then we see Marge come into frame and she just pulls him away from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And Brockman, of course, comes in the scene. He's like, "What are you looking at? The innocent words of a drunken child. Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking at, young man. A town gone mad. A town whose very conscience was washed away in a tide of beer and green vomit." That's a great line.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we get back home to the Simpsons, right? And Bart gets up and he tells everybody, "I'm going to Moe's."
And I love this part because Homer just stands up and says, "I'll come with you."
But Marge puts a stop to it.
I love that scene.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. Marge's like, no more drinking. I'm tired of looking like the world's worst mother.
And Homer's like, "Oh, honey, you're not the world's worst mother. What about that freezer lady in Georgia?" So I'm guessing that was the story at the time.
Yes, yes. A lady threw her kids in a freezer.
That's, yeah.
So, Kent finishes his commentary suggesting we bring back Prohibition. Mm-hmm. Right? And Homer turns off the TV laughing at that suggestion, right? But then we cut to City Hall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women are there demanding Prohibition, right?
Just like the first time around.
Yep. Quimby's there.
Can't trust anything with the women.
Oh, right. And so he says, "You can't seriously want to ban alcohol. It tastes great. Makes women appear more attractive. It makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism."
And Helen Lovejoy comes in. "Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?"
Just like the first time also.
Uh-huh.
That was a big thing right there.
Yep.
Right. And so, you know, Wiggum doesn't want it to happen, right?
So this is one of the classic scenes here.
Yeah.
He decides to start, like, unmess his hair, right? He pulls his pants up, and he starts to saunter over to the ladies.
That's later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
Here he just comes up with all this nonsense trying to, like, get in there, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we see, I guess he's the historian, one of the historians.
One of the historians, uh-huh.
Yeah, Springfield. Well, I guess he is a historian now since that other guy made everything up.
Yeah. Right.
He comes in and he discovers that Springfield has actually had a ban on alcohol for 200 years and no one's enforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the law is that ducks are required to wear long pants in Springfield.
And Wiggum asks to see it, right?
Yeah.
"Well, let me see that." He's like, "I'll be damned, long pants."
Yeah, I love that.
Uh-huh.
And the punishment also that he reads is that if you break that law, catapulting.
Yes, you'll be banished from the town via catapult. Yeah,
pretty cool.
It does sound cool. Would that fall under cruel and unusual?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it cruel, but it is unusual.
Very true.
And well, if they were going to do that to me, I'd ask for a parachute just to make it fun.
Right.
Otherwise, it's probably not going to be fun.
At least get some joy out of it.
Yeah.
And so then we cut to a scene. They show the Springfield Shopper, right, the local newspaper, with the big headline, "Alcohol Prohibited in Springfield." Right. And I like how there's parts in here where we get a little, like, 1920s, like, newsreel type narration.
Oh, yeah. The old-timey voice?
Yeah.
And he sounds like that. And it was it.
Well, yeah, no, like that. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. You know, here, alcohol prohibited in Springfield. We'll have it. Oh, yeah. Man. That's such. Those things are really cool.
So, Homer sees, they pull out the newspaper and it says alcohol prohibited in Springfield, right? And then we see Homer's already unconscious.
Passed out on the floor from shock, right?
And then we cut to Moe's Tavern. And we see Barney and Moe
unconscious. Yeah.
And then we cut to Dr. Hibbert's house.
And he's fine.
He's fine. He's reading the newspaper. Then he asks his wife, Bernice, a question.
And the headline was on her side. She's passed out on the floor as well.
Yes. I didn't know Dr. Hibbert's wife was such a lush.
Yeah, I guess she's on the sauce all the time.
Mm-hmm. So then we cut to the news.
And they make it just like the 20s.
Yes.
Yeah, they make it just like the 20s in
Provo. The cops bust in and they start emptying out the caskets full of beer.
Yeah, into the dishes. Now the crowd is cheering, right? And then we get the owner of Duff. And they're kind of asking him, like, what about your sales and everything? He's like, no. Well, people drink Duff for the robust taste.
Not for the alcoholic content.
Yes. And so he introduces Duff Zero. And he takes a big drink and they got their promo and everything. And then what it says on the screen 30 minutes later.
They're closing down the brewery.
Yep.
It's going out of business because nobody wants to drink non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
I've never actually tried non-alcoholic beer.
I will admit that there are some very tasty.
I've heard that Heineken one is really good.
That one's okay. That one's good. But I mean, like, there's craft beers. They're really? Pretty good. Yeah, there's some good ones. You know, if you're just, you know, looking for the pairing as far as, like, food and stuff like that. You know, but at the same time.
I was going to say something that was going to be really inappropriate, but I'm going to stick it. I'm not going to say
it. Put it this way. Let's say you have to be off the sauce for a while. Mm-hmm. You still want that beer taste. There's some decent ones.
Does it have less calories or something? If it's got the same calories, you might as well drink the real thing.
Yeah, a lot of them have less
calories. Okay.
But again, maybe you're on like antibiotics or something.
No, that is true. That is true.
You know what I mean? You still want a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, it works.
All right. Well, I guess if I ever try one, I'll let you know. So then we get the narrator again, right? With his fancy voice.
Yeah. Oh, and, but at, before that, we see Homer walking down the street, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's just whatever, and he walks into Moe's like nothing.
Uh-huh.
But it's not Moe's Tavern anymore. The sign's been changed. It's Moe's Pet Store.
Yes. But it's not a pet store. It's actually a speakeasy.
Now it's a speakeasy. Yeah, so now I get the date. The narrator's like, Dateline, Springfield! Prohibition back and forth, sobriety's peaceful slogan was shattered by its noisy neighbor, the speakeasy.
And then we see Mo is getting his beer supply from Fat Tony.
Okay. Of course, just like Prohibition.
The mob is going to get its beak wet, right? They're going to wet their beak and they want all that money too, right? And they get away with this by bribing Lou and Eddie.
Yeah, just like, you didn't see any.
Uh-huh. And Eddie's like, I don't know why people are always bad-mouthing the mafia. And they just count their money.
All right. So we cut back to Moe's Pet Store, and it's going nuts. It's popping off in there. There's jazz going on.
They're doing people, that swing dancing.
Yeah, people dancing on tables, right? Even the burlesque dancer is there.
Yes, dancing with Wiggum.
Yeah, dancing with Wiggum. Everybody's there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is where I got ahead of myself.
Right? Yes. And then the party's interrupted because, of course, Helen Lovejoy and who else is there? Milhouse's mom.
Yeah, Luann Van Houten. Agnes.
Agnes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And who else is there? Is it Maud?
Maud, yeah.
Maud, right? Mm-hmm. Maud Flatt, yeah. They're all there, and everybody's kind of like, and so Wiggum is like, oh, this looks bad.
Time to put on the old Wiggum charm.
Yep.
And this is when he fixes up his hair, pulls up his pants, and he starts to saunter over to the ladies. And Helen Lovejoy just freaks out and yells, "Pervert!" while pointing at him.
Yeah, but he says, this looks really bad.
And then they go over to Mayor Quimby and demand that they enforced prohibition. Quimby's like, demand? Who are you to demand anything? I run this town. You're just a bunch of low-income nobodies.
And the assistant's like, election in November.
And Quimby's like, what? Again? This stupid country?
Yep. And so they're going to call the big guns, right? And you get the narrator again. Mm-hmm. It says, with rum-running hoodlums in the catbird seat, Springfield said for the one man who can clean up the town and shoot the gangsters, Rex Banner. And then we see good old, you know, Rex Banner, right? Right.
So we cut to the outside of the U.S. Treasury Department, and we see this guy walking with a, what do you call it, trench coat, and he's got a fedora.
Yeah, the fedora.
He's no nonsense, right? He looks like he's straight out of the 20s, and he...
It really looks like the 20s because he gets telegrams.
Yep, he's reading his telegram, right? And he gets a telegram from Mayor Quimby reading, Springfield needs you. Then he reads another telegram from his mother. It says, Rexy, Daisy had puppies. And of course, he's really happy about that, right? Now, the U.S. Treasury Department is not responsible for that. This now, are they?
No.
They were back then.
I believe so.
They were back then, but now it's... All this is being enforced by the alcohol. Was that
alcohol, tobacco, and fire?
The ATF. Right. So, just in case you're wondering, Treasury Department. Well, they're going back to the 20s. Remember, right? And that's when the Treasury Department was.
And agencies changed, guys. Remember, the Secret Service. Their first objective was not protecting the president.
It was counterfeiting.
Yep, they're trying to get counterfeit money.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Okay, so you know. Lazy cops, they're in for a rude awakening, right? Because Rex shows up, he fires Wiggum right off the bat, right? And he whips Lou and Eddie back into shape, right? He's like, tuck that shirt in, you know, stand up straight.
Take that badge out of your mouth.
Yeah, shine those shoes, all that stuff, right?
Uh-huh. And the way he fired Wiggum was pretty funny because he just kind of like turned his chair around and he kicked him in the seat and kicked him so he... Fell out of his chair, right? And then Banner still turns around and he sees Wiggum still there, right? He's like, well, what are you waiting for? Somebody to kiss you goodbye?
Well, no, I guess not.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see The Untouchables?
No, I never saw it.
Okay, Rex Banner is kind of modeled after, Howard Stack? Is this character in The Untouchables.
Interesting.
Which was Elliot Ness.
Okay.
So, Howard Stack, what do I don't really associate him with Untouchables. What do you...
I haven't heard that in a while.
Unsolved Mysteries, bro.
Oh, that's right.
Unsolved Mysteries.
That's right.
Robert Stack, not
Howard
Stack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man,
Yeah.
I haven't thought about Unsolved Mysteries in a while.
To me, that's who he is. And by the way, do you know who is voicing Rex Banner?
It sounds familiar, but I can't.
Have you seen Strange Brew? The Canadians? The brothers? Mm-hmm. Okay, not Rick Moranis, the other guy.
Okay.
That's him.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would never know that.
Now you do.
Now I do. Mm-hmm. Now everybody else does too.
Yeah.
And so we see... the narration again, right? It says, wasting no time, Rex Banner tore into the bootleggers like a chippy tearing into a lobster.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so he's very, very into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? He keeps going through the...
Yeah, I mean, he's doing everything possible to stop liquor from flowing into the town. He's not really concerned with the traffic laws either because he sets up like permanent barriers on highways, which cause accidents, right? But there's no liquor getting in, right?
So that's all that matters.
Uh-huh.
And not the other consequences.
Yeah, uh-huh. Not at all. And he is very pleased with himself as he watches his cops shoot holes into beer barrels while Fat Tony is trying to bribe him.
Yes. And so he tries to bribe him, right? He's like, how do you know you don't like bribes if you've never taken one? Here. And he puts some cash into his hand, right?
You know, Banner, he sees it, he fills it up. He's like, hey, this is nice. He says, no bribes. And he gives him back his money. And
so Fat Tony says, okay, you win. From now on, we'll stick to smuggling heroin.
See that you do. I don't know how heroin is better than alcohol.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so Homer, we get to Homer, and he's very, very upset. Mm-hmm. Right? He's feeling the effects. And he's like, at first, I thought Prohibition was a good thing. People were drinking more and having a lot more fun. Without beer, Prohibition doesn't work.
I don't think he understands what Prohibition is. He does not. So just then, right, Chief Wiggum happens to be walking past the Simpsons kitchen window.
He looks rough.
Yes, he's seen better days. And he asks Homer and Marge if he can arrest them for any reason. And, you know, of course,
like, nope. Sorry, can't help you, right? And then he just starts crying, right? He says that, you know, crime and alcohol are gone because of Rex. He has got nothing to do.
And Homer is refusing to give up his beer. So Wiggum asks him if he has a plan.
And he says, maybe I do, Chief. Maybe I do.
And of course, his plan is to go ask Bart if he has a plan.
Yep.
He's like, come on, boy, think of a plan.
And Bart's trying, like, I'm trying, Dad. He's standing on his head watching TV, which is hilarious.
And just then, Kent Brockman comes in. Kent Brockman at the now-closed Duff Bottling Plant, where a mysterious person in black keeps a solitary vigil. And then we see somebody that's got, like, the shape of Barney.
Yeah.
Who burps just like Barney, laying a flower down beside, in front of the factory door.
Yeah.
And this is just, what is it? This is an homage to what people do when famous people die.
Yeah.
Have you seen what Bama students are doing? What they started doing after Saban announced his retirement?
No, I haven't seen that.
They started placing flowers and Little Debbie snack cakes by his statue. Like he died or something.
I was like,
he's not dead.
Still alive, guys.
Yeah.
They just know that their program's dead.
Yeah.
So, Homer does have a plan, though, right? So he says, we're going on, Marge. If we don't come back, avenge our deaths. And he cured Marge. And I love Marge. All right!
Very supportive. Seriously. You got to give it to her, right? Yeah. So then we cut to the Springfield dump, and we see Homer and Bart digging up the barrels of Duff that, of course, were disposed, but not destroyed, right? And Homer tells Bart that he needs to keep his mouth shut as they start throwing the barrels into the little U-Haul thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not a U-Haul,
trailer,
right?
Yeah, the trailer.
They call it Little Lugger or something like that?
Something like that, but it kind of looks like the
U-Haul logo.
Yeah, that's funny. And so, but they're immediately caught by Rex, right?
Well, I wouldn't say caught.
They're chased by Rex, right? And so they're driving all over the place with the trailer swinging in the back. They cut into a cemetery. They start knocking over gravestones. And Bart's like, Dad, knocking over gravestones is bad luck.
Homer's like, really? I heard good.
That would be good. But they managed to actually lose the police, right? They drive home. Homer's wrecked the car.
Again. The little axles look like they're falling
over. All over the place.
Or it's like the windows are trashed, right? And Marge's like, what happened to you, Homer? And what happened to, what have you done to the car?
Nothing.
And Marge's like, I don't think the axles were broken before.
Before? You're living in the past, Marge. Quit living in the past.
I need to remember that one for my wife.
Try to guess.
I wonder if my wife will buy that one.
Yeah.
What did I do? It doesn't matter. That's the past.
Stop living in the past.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so Marge is carrying a laundry basket to the laundry room, but she sees a bunch of signs in different languages that all read, do not enter. And,
what did she say?
That's funny. I used to be able to come in here before.
Something like that, yeah.
And as she's standing outside, Bart and Homer walk out carrying 6 bowling balls. And Homer says, gone bowling, not back, avenge death.
And so Bart's like, why do you have so many bowling balls?
And Homer says, I'm not going to lie to you, Marge. So long. And they leave.
I mean, he didn't lie to her, so there you go.
Yeah, he was being honest.
Yep. So Marge gives her, cut to the Bowler-rama,
mm-hmm.
right? And Homer is just throwing a ball very carefree, and it goes right in the gutter.
And Bart says, "Another gutter ball? Gee, Homer, you sure do suck tonight."
And I was like, "Yeah, suck like a fox."
And then they give each other high fours.
Yes, they do.
Not high fives, because they don't have five fingers. They have four fingers. Mm-hmm. Right? So then we see another gutter ball. This is right, but one thing we didn't see the first time was they have a little cork.
Yes, in the holes. They have a cork.
They have a cork in there, right? So we see that they are traveling down this elaborate system, mm-hmm. and they wind up at Moe's.
This whole crazy rig of pipes and stuff, and yeah, it goes all the way to Moe's, and there's beer inside the balls, right? So Moe serves Barney, right? He gives him $45.
And Barney is like, $45? This better be the best tasting beer in the world. So he takes a drink. He says, "You got lucky." And he pays up.
All right. And so Moe gets the money, stuffs it back in the ball, and then gives it back to Homer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then we cut to Lou, Eddie, and Rex, and they're sitting at an ice cream parlor. And Lou says, "What's wrong, boss? You haven't touched your banana kaboom."
Right. And Rex isn't having a good day, right? Mm-hmm. Because in the Springfield Shopper, the headline is Beer Baron Beats Banner.
That's good alliteration right there.
Yeah. And then we see Barney, right, sloshing around outside where they're eating.
Super drunk.
Yeah, super drunk, right? And he's just kind of like, doesn't say like, "Hey, Banner, like, you stink," or something like that, right? He makes fun of him.
And he shoves his face against the glass, and Rex punches through the glass. And he grabs Barney by the shirt. He's like, "Listen, Rummy, I'm going to say it in plain and simple. Where'd you pinch the hooch? Is some blind tiger jerking suds on the side?"
Barney's like, yes. But I love all that 20s slang they threw in right there.
Uh-huh. Like, jerking suds on the side? What the hell? What? So that's why Barney was really confused. Like, exactly. Yes?
And so we come back to the Simpsons house, and they're making their... Well, not making, they're doing their bootlegging, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Marge and Lisa catch Homer and Bart in the act.
So Homer shrieks, like, "Ah!" He drops the wheelbarrow and one of the bowling balls, a cork pops out, and we see beer flowing out and onto the carpet. Mm-hmm. And this is when Marge finally learns that Homer is the beer baron.
And he explains the whole plan, like, rolling bowling alley, they go down here, they end up at Moe's, and then they
send us back with money.
He comes back with money, and it's funny because doesn't she say, like, "Wow, that's a really clever idea, homie."
Lisa is shocked, but Marge says, no, really. I've known him for years, and this is the cleverest thing he's ever done.
And Marge's like, "He's just breaking some silly 200-year-old law."
Homer kind of sweet talks Marge by showing her the money that he's making by bootlegging. Lisa, being the goody two shoes, cuts in and says he needs to stop. What happens next?
Everybody says, "Go to your room." Even Bart.
Yes, all of them at the same time tell her to go to her room. So then we cut over to Moe's again.
Right, and the party's going. Jazz is playing, the people are dancing, all that's going on. But then we hear a knock, right, at the door. A banging at the door, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like any speakeasy, Moe walks up to the door and opens the little slot at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Rex, right? It's Rex and his policeman. So he tells him to open up. And we're like, "Oh, okay, just a minute, but I don't know why you want to come to a humble pet store."
Uh-huh.
And as he does that, he pulls a lever, and then you hear all these mechanics go off, and the bar flips over, the tables flip over, mm-hmm. the jukebox, everything.
So we see a bunch of pets come up.
We see an actual bunch of pets. They're all alive and everything, too. Uh-huh.
And everybody hides their beer behind their back.
Yep. Everybody puts one hand behind their back with their beer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Banner walks in.
Yeah. He walks in. He's like, pet shop, eh? Well, I have one question. What kind of pet shop is filled with rambunctious yahoos and hot jazz music at 1 a.m.?
And Mo's like, the best damn pet shop in town.
And everybody at that bar goes, yeah! And
they raise their beers, but he's not looking, right? They all put them back. I love that scene. That's such a great scene.
Oh, my God, right? So Rex leaves after telling them that you know, baby turtles and baby alligators may be cute, but they grow up, right? So he leaves, and then Mo pulls on the lever again, and the bar turns back around. Barney never left his seat at the bar.
And he's covered in oil, and his clothes are ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And he just says, ow, those gears down there really hurt. Like, oh, Barney.
Uh-huh. And then
Banner just looking over the town.
And he's like, you're out there somewhere, Beer Baron, and I'll find you.
And you hear Homer in the distance, no, you won't.
And Banner's like, yes, I will.
That's a funny scene. And we get back to our 1920s narration. Right? Mm-hmm. The Dateline Springfield. The elusive Beer Baron continues to thumb his nose at the authorities, swaggering about in a garish new hat. He seemed to say, look at me, Rex Banner. I have a new hat. Mm-hmm. And he has a little fedora, right?
Uh-huh. So then we see Homer, of course, the Beer Baron.
Yeah.
Who is supervising Bart, right? And Bart tells him there's no more beer, right? Sorry to tell you, Beer Baron, but there's no more beer, right?
Mm-hmm. And, we're out of business.
Uh-huh. So this is when Mo pops up and he tells him that his customers are sobering up and they're not going to stick around the bar for the ambiance. So he needs more beer.
And Homer tells him, well, you know, there's no more beer. I don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
Mo basically tells him, figure it out. He takes off, right?
Uh-huh. He says, find it, buy it, make it. I don't care, right?
Yeah.
And this is when Homer gets the idea to make his own, right? So next thing we know, we see them at the Houseware Warehouse.
Great, great name.
Yes, yes, it is, right? And Homer asks to buy 42 bathtubs. This is when the clerk tells him that he can get 50 bathtubs for $3,000.
I said 42.
All right. So, next thing we know, we're down at the Simpsons basement, and there are bathtubs everywhere as he is using the bathtubs to make booze.
Yep. So, he's making his own booze, making bathtub gin, whiskey, and all that kind of stuff, which people did in the 20s. Now, yes. To be fair, a lot of people got sick and a lot of people died because of that.
Don't try it, guys.
Yeah, don't do that. No. Please don't do that. Be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marge and Lisa, they find him down there. Bart's stirring the booze. And Lisa tells Homer that he's doing something even more illegal now than what he was doing before.
And Homer's like, well, I'm just breaking an unjust law. Right, and this is when a bowling ball gets to Mo's, right?
Yeah.
And Mo turns around, right? He opens up the bowling ball, and he smells it. And he's like, who wants a bathtub mint julep?
There's these three really old dudes, like, right from a different time, they all raise their hands.
Yeah, they kind of look like they're dressed like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah. By the way, do you think Colonel Sanders was an actual colonel, or is it just like the title Elvis's agent gave himself?
I think so. Well, I don't know. Maybe he was.
I don't know.
We're going to have to find that out. Mm-hmm. I need to know that now.
I'm going to start calling myself Colonel when I'm 60. If that's how it works, just call me Colonel.
That'd be funny. That'd be funny.
Oh.
And so we cut to Rex, Lou, and Eddie, and they're standing on the sidewalk, right? And Ned Flanders is walking by because you can tell that Rex is very frustrated.
Uh-huh. So Banner goes, are you the Beer Baron?
And Ned says, well, if you're talking about root beer, I plead Gilt diddly idly as char diddly orange. And, oh, God.
And Rex Banner goes, he's not the Baron, but he sounds drunk. Take him in.
So Ned gets arrested.
So then we see the comic book guy walking by, and Rex Banner starts to question him. He's like, are you the Beer Baron?
Yes, but only at nights. By day, I am a mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper. And, of course, it's Superman.
And then Banner's like, don't crack wise with me, Tubby.
Was it Tubby? Oh, yes, Tubby. He looks at himself. He looks real sad.
Rex was too busy harassing the comic book guy to notice that Homer and Bart just walked by with a bunch of ingredients to make booze in a cart.
Yeah. And doesn't he walk by like, how's it hanging, Banner?
Yep.
He says, none of your business. He just walks by, nothing happens, right?
With his garish new hat.
Yes.
So we go back to the laundry room. And we see Homer and Bart are still making booze.
Yep.
When?
Yeah. One of the stills just blows up, right?
Yep.
And Marge, you can hear Marge's footsteps. She runs up and says, what on earth happened down there?
And Bart starts to tell him, one of the stills.
And Homer puts his hand over his mouth, right? He's like, nothing, Marge. I think it must have been that bean I had for dinner.
Oh, my God.
So we cut to them in bed, right?
Uh-huh. Homer is reading. He's got his little reading glasses on. And we still see a bunch of explosions happening. And Homer's like, kablamo! Ooh, I'm sorry, dear.
Yeah, he's still pretending like it's him passing gas.
Uh-huh. Marge isn't buying it, though, right? And she's like, Homer, you've had your fun. You've made your money. Why don't you quit while you're ahead?
And Homer goes off, right, to go check on his liquor because everything's blowing up.
Uh-huh.
And a massive explosion happens. And then we just see Homer running around in the front yard on fire. Right? And then he starts rolling around.
He does a stop, drop, and roll. Yeah, he does a
stop, drop, and roll. He puts himself out. Marge is watching through the window.
Uh-huh. So when Homer finishes putting himself out, he's like, he stands up and looks at Marge. I thought about what you said, honey. And I've decided to quit.
So we cut to the next day, and he's walking down the street with his money, right? He's messing with his money. Mm-hmm. And Chief Wiggum steps out in front of him in a torn-up police suit. His hair's all over the place, pajama pants. And he has a gun. He's like, give me your money! And Homer's kind of like, Wiggum?
Yeah.
He's like, he makes fun of his gun, right?
Like, it doesn't even have a trigger.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I had to sell the trigger, the handle, the stock, and most of something or other to feed my family.
It's a triggerless gun.
Uh-huh.
And say, but I can throw this gun pretty hard.
So Homer, you know, he's not scared, but he's really sympathetic. And he decides to come up with a plan to get Chief Wiggum his job back.
So he wants to make him look better than Rex Banner. So we cut to Banner having a press conference, right? And, you know, he says that the flow of liquor has ended. And he says, but the Beer Baron, probably a media fabrication.
Wait, you missed something, right? He says, the flow of liquor has ended. The mysterious liquor clouds above Evergreen Terrace have disappeared.
I forgot about that. Right over the intro.
Yes, that wouldn't be a big clue on who the Beer Baron is, right?
No. All right. He says, the idea that someone like that could operate under my nose is laughable. And he kind of... Well, you all know what laughter sounds like, don't you?
He's so uptight, he doesn't know how to laugh.
Yep.
And then Kent Brockman cuts away from Baron's... Banner's... press conference to cut to Chief Wiggum. And Chief Wiggum has caught the Beer Baron on Evergreen Terrace, right? Somebody says, and we're cutting over to Kent Brockman. It appears they have arrested the Beer Baron. And we hear Lenny goes, oh no, they caught Homer.
He just throws him under the bus. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so we see Homer standing next to Wiggum, right? And the press, he's there talking to him, you know.
He's explaining the whole scheme to them.
Yep. And then Marge actually says, you know, that's a really sweet thing that you did for him. But what's going to happen to you?
And Homer's like, ah, oh, probably just a slap on the wrist.
And then I love this part because then we cut to Homer tied up, hog-tied, right? With his hands laced behind his back. And he is being loaded into an actual catapult. Right? And so the old man, the historian's there, right? And he says, and he who shall violate this law shall be punished by catapult.
And Homer just stares at Wiggum. He's like, last time I helped you.
And Wiggum's like, I really thought you were just going to get a fine. At the very most, 3 or 4 years in jail.
But, you know, Rex Banner says the catapult is 2 centuries old. So he wants it tested. So they put a cat on the catapult and they launch it.
That's crazy.
And as they're getting it ready to put Homer back on there, this is when Marge comes and he says that this law is dumb and it restricts their freedom. Their freedom to drink.
Yep. And Rex comes in. We can't choose what laws we obey. Right? You know, like, but the law is the law. Like,
yeah.
You can't choose which ones you can. So, valid argument.
Yeah. And while he's doing this, he's making his argument, he climbs onto the catapult. Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, Wiggum orders Eddie, he turns at him and says, send him back to Mom.
And Eddie pulls the lever, and we see Rex Banner catapulted out of Springfield. And just then, that historian comes back.
Mm-hmm. And he says that this entire thing has been pointless because he keeps reading the document. And it turns out the rest of the parchment decrees that the law was repealed 199 years ago. So it lasted a year and then they repealed it.
Yes. Exactly. So then Quimby apologizes to Homer and asks him when he can flood the town with booze.
Homer tells him that, hey, I'm not in that business anymore.
And this is when Fat Tony comes in and tells Quimby, 4 minutes.
So 5 minutes later, everybody's drunk as a skunk now in Springfield again, mm-hmm. right? And the narrator's saying, and so, one town's beef flirtation with prohibition ended in a joyous remarriage to Lady Liquor. Congratulations, Springfield. We wish you the very best. Right? And then we get to what I think, and you think, I'm sure, is one of the greatest lines ever uttered by not just Homer Simpson, but any character.
Anybody on TV ever.
Yep.
This includes presidential addresses.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. We see Homer standing on a hill of beer kegs.
With a beer in his hand.
Uh-huh. And he calls for a toast. And he says, to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. And we end the episode with that magnificent line.
That's one of the greatest lines ever.
Yes.
It's such a great line.
Yes. So great, I had to find a beer koozie with it, and I bought it for myself.
Yep, you got me a nice little metal sign decoration for my place here. That is great.
With that quote. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So... I'm not even going to bother.
Do we have to? I mean, we already know.
It's a 5.
It's always a 5.
Recycled couch gag. No black. No chalkboard gag. It doesn't matter. This was one sweet episode.
It's a 5 all day. It really is. It's easily, for me, one of the best top 10 episodes of the series.
It's in my top 5.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. Yeah, I can totally understand top 5.
Just when the both of them look at, all of them look at Lisa and go to your room.
That's a great scene.
Oh my God.
Even just that end quote is just, oh, that's a cherry on top right there.
There's just so many good scenes in here. So many good gags.
The way it's done, all the 20s references, the newsreel, the narrator,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. It's awesome. The writing is just incredible.
Yes. The golden age of The Simpsons.
Where they get the mob involved, or everything. It is hilarious.
4 minutes.
Drunk up booze. Awesome. It's so good.
Come on, everybody. Naked. Come on. Don't be shy.
It's so
Let's get this party started. Yeah. Oh my god.
So yeah, a lot of historical references in there too. So yeah, nothing not to like about this episode, really.
Yes. And next week episode, kids.
Woo-wee. Got another banger.
Yes. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, this is just...
I'm going to end it there because...
We'll say, though, one more thing. You know, again, one of those episodes, if you're trying to get someone into The Simpsons, this one is way up there.
Yes. Oh, God. And if they don't like this episode, take them to the doctor, have them examined. There is something wrong with them. And until next week... Au revoir, suckers.